Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Absolutely, it is a Friday. Hope your weekend is getting off to a great start. As promised, we are joined right now by ESPN front office insider, friend of the program, Amin El Hassan. Amin, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
I am the captain.
Man, if you could see me now, Keyshawn, you would die laughing, man.
I can only imagine.
I'm looking at a picture of Key right now. I mean, Key, I've never seen your hair this long in my life.
Well, no, that's because I'm growing my frohawk. So the top part of it is it grows, and then it's all tapers down on the back portion of it. You can't see the back portion, so I had to let the top grow. But my sides are shaved off. I do look like a suspect, though.
Amin, what are you looking like?
I'm looking like everything that Keyshawn imagines in his head, man. Because I'm the captain now.
I can say it. I'm safe. I can say it. You probably look like somebody that's going to get stopped of racial profiling. I get it. I understand.
Absolutely. 100%, Keyshawn. 100%.
I get it. I'll say it. I'll take that one. You know, we won't be – put it this way. At the end of the day, as long as you come back to life and look like you normally look, I think we'll be okay.
Well, we'll see where that goes, because literally I haven't had a haircut or shave or trimmed anything on my face or my head.
Wait a minute now. I understand not getting a haircut, no. But why haven't you shaved? They didn't shut down the razor blades.
No, there's no point.
What do you mean there's no point?
Who am I looking cute for, man? By myself.
I like looking cute for me. I like walking by the mirror saying, how you doing?
All right. Amin, so we've been talking about different formats. We've been talking about all the different potential restart dates. Where are we in this process right now? How are we, or how close are we to getting to where the NHL is, for instance, and saying, this is the format and this is what we plan on doing? How far down the road is the NBA relative to that?
Well, I mean, I think from the standpoint of games being played, we are on the precipice of an announcement there that we will start the season on this particular date in July, and that people will start reporting to camps a few weeks before that. As far as the structure and the format, that's still up in the air. They're having a Board of Governors conversation today. They've already alerted the media that there will not be a decision made today. They're going to have a discussion about it, but no decision will be made today. So I think we still got a ways to go. I think there's still kind of not quite consensus on what the safest / most fair / most profitable format is for the NBA moving forward.
I mean, I'm more concerned about whatever we decide to do going forward, what the rosters are going to look like. Do we know at all if there's any consideration about freezing rosters based upon where they were on March 11th? Are they going to allow KD and Kyrie to come back? Can someone sign a DeMarcus Cousins if they wanted to, if he's all healthy? Have you heard anything about that part of the discussion?
Yeah, as far as I understand it, there is not going to be any freeze of the rosters. If a guy's healthy and recovered, and we're just going to roll with it. Because at the end of the day, I don't think anyone banks on injuries, right? No one's banking on injuries. It's obvious that we bank on our players being healthy, and then if they're injured, we're told to just deal with it. So this is kind of the opposite. Players are injured, now they're getting healthy. To the opponents, you got to deal with it, right? You should have built a bigger lead when those guys were out, right? The other thing is, LZ, I think there's actually going to be a pool of players who are not affiliated on teams, like you said, like DeMarcus Cousins, for instance, who are going to be down there, because if somebody gets hurt, if a team needs to sign a guy to a 10-day or something like that, they need people who are ready to go. They can't call somebody in and then wait for them to be quarantined for a couple of weeks and then wait for them to kind of get in shape for a couple of weeks and then be like, okay, now you can join us. So you got to have some people kind of available down there in Orlando to be called up if need be.
When you look at everything, so Vegas has come out with the Milwaukee Bucks slightly ahead of the Lakers when it was flipped. When we left this thing, the Lakers were ahead of Milwaukee to win the championship. Now Milwaukee has stepped up and they're ahead of the Lakers. Is this because of the rest that has taken place in the 2.5 months that LeBron's gotten older and Giannis has gotten healthier?
Yeah, I think the idea is that the Lakers are on the whole a bit of an older team than Milwaukee. Especially when you consider, like, the most important guy on the team is the oldest guy on the team.
So you're telling me 2.5 months of rest for older guys drops them down instead of making them healthy?
Yeah, I think in the sense that, like, LeBron himself talked about it, is that his body's not used to having this time off, right? He's used to being in a certain type of condition level at this point. So for his body to shut down and then ramp back up, that increases his likelihood of getting hurt at this stage of his career. That increases his likelihood of having to work through rust. I mean, I think rest is good up until a point, and then there's a point where, man, I'm just not in shape anymore. And we got to believe that 35-year-old LeBron, it's going to be slower for him to get back into shape for him, obviously, not shape for us slobs, than it is for Giannis, who's, what, 26 years old? All right, 25, 26 years old, he's going to be able to get in shape a lot quicker. But at the end of the day, Keith, whatever Vegas say, nobody knows, because we don't know what shape these guys are in. We don't know how this layoff has impacted people. I think when this thing started, we all thought that James Harden would come back looking like Oliver Miller. Instead, he's skinnier than I am. So, like, and the only reason we know that is because a picture came out last week. So I think right now everybody's kind of guessing. Nobody really knows anything.
Amin El Hassan, ESPN front office insider, joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Amin, let's assume that green light happens today, and now we're coming back and we're getting ready to play in a month or so. If you're a coach, if you're a front office executive, what is your greatest fear in restarting this, especially if you're one of the championship caliber teams? If we're talking about the Lakers, the Bucks, the Clippers, the Celtics, if you're one of these teams, what is your greatest concern coming back and restarting?
Without a shadow of a doubt, COVID-19. The idea, and you can take that as many different directions as you want. If you want to go as low level as I'm worried that my best player is going to get sick and quarantined, and then we're going to get knocked out of the playoffs because of that, or if you escalate to I'm worried one of my players gets sick, and then as a result, 5 or 6 players get sick, and we got to go in there with a short roster, or if you want to escalate it to I'm worried someone's going to get sick and get seriously sick, hospitalized sick, or infect a family member or a loved one or someone else who gets seriously sick and we lose a life. And these are all massive risks that the NBA is going to have to answer to. It was one of the reasons why I'm not really comfortable when they're talking about, should we have 24 teams? Should we have 20 teams? To me, it's already risky that we're playing games, that we want to play games. The more teams, the more personnel, the more people you allow into this thing, and the less restrictive being inside the bubble is, where we hear Jared Dudley talk about, oh, players are going to be able to leave and come back. And if someone tests positive, they're just going to be quarantined and nobody else. I feel like these are all concessions for convenience and not for safety. And my biggest worry, I don't want to be a spoil sport or Debbie Downer, my biggest worry is that someone gets seriously sick or loses a life. And then all the people who are waving their pom-poms for, oh, basketball's back, hooray, whatever, they're going to be the same ones that say, how could you do this? And this person's life is on your hands, Adam Silver, and all that. Like, I know that's going to happen if this thing goes wrong. And so to me, I fully believe, that's the number one concern for every coach, head coach, and front office members. How do I make sure that this goes off safely without a hitch?
Well, let's go with that for a minute. I mean, so with that being said, what is it that they should do then? How should they control the environment? Should they allow players to come and go freely, or should they have it? I mean, where are they going to go? First of all, what are they going to dinner? I mean, like, what are they going to do? I mean, hang out at the pool? It ain't like they're going to be hitting the club.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point. He's like, well, what are y'all complaining about, right? So, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this, I say you take the 16 playoff teams, right? Because it's not arbitrary. You say 20, why are we saying 20? Does that mean Washington, who's the 9th seed, doesn't get to come, but New Orleans, who's the 12th seed, does get to come? That doesn't make any sense to me, right? So you take the 16 teams, that automatically you've eliminated 14 teams. It's almost half the league right there. Hey, sorry about this year. See you next year. Boom. And that, now you've isolated that. Then, to me, it's got to be a strict bubble. Whether you have family members or not in that bubble, you have to be in. You're in. If you want to leave, you got to come back and you got to be quarantined for 2 weeks. Like, because you really have to go to your favorite restaurant in Orlando, like you said, right? So the idea here is that you can't, quote unquote, imprison people, but you can certainly make the consequences of leaving the bubble a lot bigger and a lot greater than if you just, man, bite the bullet, stay right here, stay put, and let's get these games done.
Well, part of that problem with that bubble, as I was saying to the guys earlier in the week, is the theme parks is going to be in effect. Disney is not going to not make money. Universal is not going to not make money. They're finding ways to have people back into the amusement parks and be able to do things and people's summer vacations. So you're going to have that. But what they can do is they can have a certain perimeter, you know, where that is strictly for the NBA and the family. See, I like family coming. I like the fact that the family should be there. The girlfriends, the wives, the kids should be there with them.
What about the boyfriends?
Excuse me?
I said, what about the boyfriends too?
Anyway, man, look, the family and the kids, I like the fact that they should be able to come and be with them and not away from them, but isolate the area with a nice big perimeter that is controlled environment. And if they decide they want to go from hotel to hotel, pool to pool, and do those sort of things, then good. But we all know however many employees and people, 3,500, whatever that number is, that they all with us. Then nobody decided to go hang out in downtown Disney to get a bite to eat.
Yeah, well, I mean, Key, you're right. You know, Disney, our parent company, announced that Disney World is going to open up in July, which is about the same time where these games would be happening. But the cool thing about the resort of the town of Lake Buena Vista is that, A, it's gated. Like, it is a private property, so they can legitimately say, no, you can't come here. You can't be in this part of the resort. And B, where the hotels are and the pools are, some of them are close to the park and some of them aren't. Like, from actually most of those hotels, you have to get on a bus just to get to the perimeter of the actual park. So the park can be open, and still there's vast parts of the resort that can be closed.
We held training, like you said. We held training camp down there when I was with the Buccaneers. That was where we trained. Summer training camp was at Disney World. So we had a perimeter that was shut off, and we had to take either our cars or buses to the facility to be able to practice every single day. And the only people that can get in, obviously, was people that was part of the Buccaneers. So the NBA certainly can do that if they choose to do so. And we stayed in gorgeous hotels. I mean, it felt good. Like, it was country club training camp for sure. Air conditioned, the whole deal.
Yeah, first of all, I'm feel so bad for you. Y'all NFL guys, where training camp sometimes means there's no air conditioning in those rooms.
No, but we had it good because of Disney. We had it good. Like, when we first went down there, we was like, damn, can we win a championship living like this? You know? it was real now. Sushi restaurants and all sorts of stuff.
No, it's great. It's great. And like I said, like, there's two reasons why there would be a secure perimeter. One of them is what you went through, Keith, because you don't want people coming up and bothering the players and bothering people, like, can I get an autograph and can I get a picture and all this stuff. But the other thing is, again, it's from a COVID quarantine standpoint. It's like, you represent a risk as someone who is outside the bubble. And that goes back to my original point. We're going to do this. You got to have people buy into the idea of you stay inside the bubble. And if that means I got to get my wife and kids out here because I'm going to miss them or my parents or whatever, that's cool. As long as we all understand this ain't something where you're going to hop over to Magic Kingdom or hop over to a Wild Kingdom so you can ride Pandora real quick and then come back in time for dinner. No, it doesn't work like that. You're not here for a vacation. You're here to get the job done.
ESPN Front Office Insider Amin El-Hassan. Amin, as always, thanks a bunch. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
I am the captain.
All right. So Melvin Gordon got off some pretty significant shade at the Chargers, despite the fact that he's no longer here. You'll hear that next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. That's right, Alex Caruso coming up just a few minutes from now, 9:30 straight ahead. Melvin Gordon was speaking the truth. He was on a podcast, and he was asked about what it's going to be like to play in potentially empty stadiums if the NFL kicks off in the fall and they're only allowed to play in front of a small number of fans or maybe no fans. And he said, bro, we didn't have fans anyway. I'll be honest, we didn't have many Charger fans at the game. Much loyalty and love, but we didn't have many, so I'm not missing anything. I mean, has there ever been a more accurate, more ruthless statement from a player about an organization than that one? That's just tough.
Well, it's true. I mean,
it's damn true.
You know, obviously they've had some personal issues with Melvin Gordon, from his holdout to his lack of play, and they didn't give him an offer to try to retain him in free agency. So he feels a certain way about the organization, and which I understand, which I get. Feelings are hurt. I get it. And so there it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I've been in a situation where I played in empty stadiums. I'm telling you, when I was with the Jets, and we were 1-15, our stadium, you know, it might have, I think we were 70-some thousand capacity. And any given day, it might have been 40,000 people in those stands. And then less than that as the season wore on. I played the Arizona Cardinals my rookie year in Tempe in Sun Devil Stadium. I swear to you, I believe the capacity was 8,000.
Oof.
It was crazy.
That's got to make it incredibly bizarre. And I want to get to that in a second, but just look, this is going to be different. The Chargers, before SoFi opens this year, and obviously they're going to go into SoFi, but before, when you're playing at, Dignity Health Sports Park right now, and it's roughly a 25,000-seat arena, even if you put 20,000 fans of the other team in there, at least there's a little bit of buzz. But what happens if we do go back? What happens if we do allow fans in the stadium, and you're sitting in SoFi's huge, guys. I mean, it's just massive. You're talking about a place that seats upward 70,000-80,000 people, depending on how it's going to be configured on any given day. If you've got 10,000, like you were saying, Key, 12,000, 15,000 people, and I get that ultimately people are going to want to see SoFi, so there'll be some people coming through the gates to start for the Chargers, but the novelty of that might wear off for them relatively quickly. How do you get fired up to go play when there's nobody there?
You just play. You play against your opponent, and you get fired up against him, but you also get fired up because of your team and your coaches and where you're trying to go. You can find a reason to get on the field and play. The fans, I understand that they're there, but at the end of the day, we can find a reason to play, for sure.
When you think about, and I know I'm going to say it again, everyone's like, oh, I'm going to roll your eyes, but when you think about course that every single tennis player has to get through in order to become a top-tier guy or gal, you start off literally playing in front of nothing.
you at the court that I thought you was practicing at?
because on the challenger circuit, there's not a lot of people that's watching no-name people who aren't even ranked battle it out. But you got to get through that in order to get to be a pro.
But that's like minor league baseball. You know what I mean? Like you're playing in front of hundreds instead of thousands. You build up to it. You don't get to the – if all of a sudden you went into Wimbledon, LZ, and there were 50 people in there, that would just be bizarre.
No, but my point being is that there are certain aspects of becoming a professional athlete in which it is a familiar scenario. Now, obviously, Melvin Gordon is throwing shade more than anything else. But there are other sports in which the scenario that you're talking about is one that's somewhat familiar to these athletes on their way up. And while it might be weird, it's not completely foreign, is my point. So other sports, it would be completely foreign because there's always been crowds. If you're an NBA guy, your AAU games are packed. And so it could be weird all of a sudden just playing in front of no one in an actual game. But some other sports, you have to come up on the rough side of the mountain. Maybe you're more adapted to that environment.
Key, you get no buzz, no lift, no juice. You can just talk yourself into, okay, I'm a member of the LA Chargers. We've got a game against, I don't want to pick the Raiders because they'll have fans, but we got a game against the Denver Broncos tonight. We're playing in an 80,000 seat arena. There's going to be 20,000 people here, 60,000 empty seats because nobody gives a damn that we're here at all. And you're going to come charging out of that tunnel ready to go. I just said it just doesn't seem possible.
Well, it's one of those deals where you can be ready to go because you're focused. I'm focusing in on my opponent. And by focusing in on the opponent, it's just – it's one of those deals where you just feel like, okay, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And at the end of the day, I got the opponent. I got my teammates. I got that. I got the television audience. I'm performing for those things. That's pretty much it. I'm not performing for people that are in the stands because I already know there's not going to be any. There may be some scattered, or there may be some television people. Maybe there's a few attendants that are there. But other than that, it's not going to be the capacity. And I'm going to still be able to perform.
I'm not talking about if we come back and there's limited seating because of the pandemic. That's just going to be the thing that everybody has to deal with. And whether you're playing in Green Bay or whether you're playing in L.A. or Oakland, or I guess Vegas or wherever it is, it's going to be scattered just because of the rules that are going to be in place. I'm talking about when we get back to where if you can fill every seat's going to be filled, and yet you're still playing in front of fractional crowds. I get it. You're a professional. You get a check. You want to win the game. You want to advance. All of these things, I understand. But, I mean, we've all been in front of crowds. You get a lift from the energy in the room. You get a lift from the energy of the people that are there to see you perform. It's very different to do it just because, okay, this is my job and I do it. And then it's you go out there and you do it in front of a room full of people or a stadium full of people. It's an entirely different experience.
No, it is an entirely different experience, but you could muster up your thoughts to perform, whether it was people in the stands or not. With that, you could just make it up in your own mind if you have to. It's because you do it in practice. You do it in scrimmages. You do it all the time in your own facilities where there's nobody there, but you got to perform to show the coaches that you know how to play the game of professional football and be a professional. So you certainly are trained to do certain things without people around.
Can I keep it 100 for a second too? Like, seriously, there's like 40 million people in unemployment. Cities all around this country are having protests. Minneapolis is burning down. I understand that you're used to certain dynamics to perform your sport, and I can appreciate it. I'm someone who oftentimes doesn't even take out his credential because I prefer to be a fan so I can boo and drink and a whole nine. So I'm not coming from a place of not understanding. I completely understand. But I just don't have a great deal of bandwidth to entertain the conversation of I don't want to go out and perform because there aren't fans in the stadium. Now, if you want to talk about your concern for your safety, if you want to talk about the owners are trying to rip you off, sure, I'm all down for that conversation. But this notion that you're hesitant to go out and play because nobody's going to cheer you on, I just don't have any bandwidth for that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Look, I don't know who would not want to play because there's no fans.
They're
going to
play
in a parking lot.
We got quotes. We have quotes. I'm not making this up. We got quotes.
I didn't say you made it up. I'm saying I don't know why somebody would not, or somebody would say they don't want to play because fans aren't going to be there. That don't sound right to me. That's like,
well, no. Look, go back to the very beginning of this whole thing, and it's just the circumstances have changed so dramatically. Remember when we first started this? LeBron said, "Man, I'm not playing in front of no fans," and then the very next day he said, "Hold on a second. I spoke out of turn. I spoke without thinking about this thing from the beginning to the end." And obviously the circumstances now are very different than they were, you know, whatever it is, 3 months ago. So whatever the circumstances might be 3 months from now, and I'm not trying to trivialize anything that's going on in the world right now. I completely agree with what you're saying, LZ. But just the idea of when we do have a relative, quote unquote, air quotes, normal situation, and one team, it's not that people aren't there. It's that people are choosing to not go there. That's a little different. Alex Caruso is going to join us next. Good news with Alex Caruso. That's coming up on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
All right, we're going to talk to Alex Caruso coming up here in just a little bit. You know, Amin said something interesting. We were talking with him a few minutes ago where LeBron mentioned that he's just not used to not playing basketball at this time of the year, having that break. You wonder just how bizarre it is for these guys to be in the situation that they're in. And obviously, we're all in different deals. We, you know, we're all working from home. A lot of other people are working from home, and we're fortunate to be doing it. But to just have that long break in the middle is unprecedented. Speaking of, as promised, we're joined right now by Lakers Alex Caruso on the Sprint People's Hotline. Alex, good morning. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Well, what are you doing, Alex, to stay in shape? I need to know. I need to know now.
Well, I did have a little at-home gym going, but thankfully they're letting us back in the facility.
Are you able to be in the facility shooting around with a couple guys? Are you able to get some pickup three-on-three going, or is it simply just one-on-one stuff?
It's all one-on-one, me and a coach. They're allowing us to go in, and they're doing a really good job of keeping it safe and being precautious. But it's me and one strength coach in the weight room at a time, and then me and one basketball coach on the court at a time. No three-on-three, no contact of any sort. Just the fact that they're letting us back in the gym is a good start.
Is it a staggering time? You get 2 hours, the next person gets two. Is that how you guys are doing it?
Yeah, max players allowed in the gym or the facility one time is four. So it's usually a couple hour window where you can get treatment, shots, weights, whatever you need to do, and then they disinfect and clean the place, and the next group of guys comes in.
You've had such an incredible journey so far, Alex. You and I talked about this a few months ago when I did a piece on you about, you know, bouncing back and forth between the G League, and then you finally get past the two-way deal, you get a fully guaranteed contract, and bam, coronavirus. Like, how crazy is that in terms of timing for you individually as an athlete?
Yeah, my career timeline has been very peculiar. You know, just the things that I've been able to experience, and obviously the route I took to get to where I am, and now going through all this, it's been anything but normal. You know, to start off my NBA career. So hopefully, in the years coming, it'll get a little bit back to status quo, and we can get back to just hooping.
Alex Caruso joining us here on the morning show. Alex, just how odd has it been? And obviously, it's an odd situation for everybody because of the way that the world has changed in the last couple of months. But just as an athlete, you know, you have a season, then you have an off season. You know when the next season is going to start. But I would imagine this is pretty unusual to just be in a holding pattern and not quite sure when you're going to get to go back and play basketball again.
Yeah, you know, that's been really – I think that's been the toughest part is just the unknown factor about it is we're not sure when we were going to come back. You know, originally it was supposed to just be a kind of a couple week break, and everybody was hoping we'd just jump right back into it and push everything back, and then it turned into a month. Now here we sit a little bit over 2 months waiting for some answers, and you know, rightfully so. There's a lot of questions that have to be answered, and they're not easy questions to be answered. So I'm sure whenever the NBA and the Players Association make their decisions, it's going to be in our best interest, and hopefully that involves playing basketball games.
Whenever that time comes, Alex, whenever that is, and there's a lot of different scenarios that's floating out of the format, which one of the formats that you're hearing the most you like?
Yeah, I've heard a bunch of different ones, right? I've heard finished regular season, which doesn't seem likely. I've heard a shortened regular season into playoffs. I've heard straight to playoffs with the extra teams from the West. The pool play system. I'm not sure if I favor one or the other. You know, I mean, because my team is going to be involved regardless. So for me, it's really just about getting out there and playing again, man.
Alex, I'm just going to cut to the heart of the conversation that's really pressing on Laker fans. You and Rihanna, Now, you're quoted as saying that if you get a chance, you would dapper up for the culture. Why did you dapper up when you had a chance?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Why did you dapper up when you had a chance?
He trying to throw it. You trying to throw your shot?
I'm just. I mean, if it's such a hot topic, I think it's something that I should do for the people. You know, they give me so much love and appreciation.
No, you're gonna be doing that. Hey, you're gonna be doing that for yourself, man. You ain't doing that for the people.
Keisha, I gotta set it up though, make it look good. You know, make sure that I'm engaged with the fans.
Hey, I felt like that at once upon a time in my life with certain people too, but I ain't gonna never tell you who they are.
But real talk though, bro. When you first saw the picture of the way she was looking at you on court, what did you think?
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't. I mean, you know, playing in LA and everywhere we go, we get a lot of celebrity attention and people show up at the game, so it's become sort of normal to see people of that status of the games. But once I saw the meme afterwards, because of course everybody that I knew sent it to me and everybody on the internet sent it to me, I thought it was funny. You know, I really am just curious to know what she was saying, but I guess that'll be the seventh wonder of the world or eighth wonder of the world.
you win that championship and you hit one of them Steve Kerr shots at the end. I got you, bro. Don't worry. I'm close enough to her where I can reach out and dial it up. But look,
I don't know what it is.
In the mornings when you go to cereal, what's your cereal go to?
My cereal, you know, I'm not a huge cereal guy. I have two favorites because one of them is not a healthy cereal and one of them kind of is. My unhealthy choice is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Thank you, okay, Alex. Thank you.
That's solid.
My healthy choice is Raisin Bran.
Okay, I good. As long as you ain't giving me no mini frosted wheats, we good.
No, I can't do that. That's like eating a Triscuit. Triscuit and milk, it doesn't work.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't have to worry about me writing about you ever again.
All right, move on. Look, I'm just glad that, Alex, you voted for my cereal. I'm just glad that you had that one in there because I haven't won one of these silly polls that we've done on the show for years. I need you to get online at ESPN Los Angeles and start voting for my stuff because we share a cereal affection.
I'll try and boost it a little bit.
Thank you.
All right.
So what have you, other than obviously trying to stay in shape, now that you guys can get in the gym, that's occupying some time. But, I mean, we're talking going on 3 months now. What have you been doing with your time when it's not just keeping your body right?
Yeah, for the first probably a couple weeks, you know, I'm a big video game guy. I'm probably part of the tail end, I guess the beginning era of really playing video games on Xbox. So I did a little bit of that, but that kind of got played out kind of quick. So I started reading some books and then just checking up with my friends and family, you know, just seeing how they're doing and spending time talking to them. It's time that I probably wouldn't normally get to catch up with them. So that's been nice to just kind of tap in and say hello.
When you first got back into the Lakers gym, I know you got your equipment and stuff at home, but it's not basketball acclimated things, right? It's been off for a while, but when you first get back with the training staff and the coaches, did you feel a sense of anxiety, winded? Like, how was your conditioning from the time you left to when you first got back?
Yeah, well, it's definitely not the same. Just because, I mean, I think we were probably in peak physical shape for where we were in the season as far as, you know, 60 games in. It's about three-fourths of the season before you go into the playoffs. So you're kind of, your body is finally acclimated to playing basketball the way you want to play it. So, yeah, getting back is obviously, I'm not quite where I was then, but it still felt good to just get in there and get a sweat and kind of go through that process of grinding back into shape.
I've seen on your, at least on your Twitter feed, that you've made several posts or retweeted several posts in connection to what the country's dealing with now in light of what's going on in Minneapolis. Why is it so important to you that you use your platform to get these messages out?
You know, I was blessed and fortunate to grow up with that word that everybody talks about with the privilege, but more importantly with parents that raised me the right way, that raised me that everybody is created equal and that you should treat everybody how you want to be treated. And I have so many friends within the African American community from playing basketball from when I was a little kid to now and relationships that I wouldn't have if I didn't live by that motive. For me, it's mind blowing and baffling that people can have this much hatred and this much evil inside of them to be pushed to this. So anything I can do to just be a voice, be a pillar, be a tool for anybody. That's kind of what I want to do, because there's so many people that I love and cherish that I wouldn't have the relationships with, if I wasn't raised the right way or had this outlook on life. So I think it's something that's important to me.
Very well said. Alex Caruso joining us here on The Morning Show. Alex, I know you also have an all-in challenge up on your Twitter feed as well. How do people get involved with that, and what do they win if they get it?
The all-in challenge is actually closed. I think it closed a couple of days ago. It was it tapped out at a couple grand, and it was a great event for a great cause. I'm sure there's as much positive as they're doing, there might be a second round, so everybody keep their eyes peeled. But it was just a neat invitation to spend some time with me, come to a game, get some cool signed memorabilia, and honestly, I'm just really, really proud of how well it did, because I wasn't really sure what the response was going to be.
Very cool. We love you, man.
What are you talking about? We love you.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed. You're a pretty popular guy on that team, Alex. I'd imagine that's hit home by now, right?
I guess got to stay humble, you know?
Oh, man, it's all right. You can tell him you the man. You ain't got to stay humble. Listen to that. Hell, hey, you worked hard to get to where you at. You better enjoy it.
I'm not as confident as you sometimes.
No, but that's okay. You worked your ass off to get to where you at. You better enjoy it.
That's true.
Especially when you bring that championship home.
Especially then.
Alex Caruso joining us here on The Morning Show. Alex, appreciate your time so much. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, guys. All right, Alex. Me on, man. Y'all take care.
Man, see, I gotta get guys like that out of their shell. All that, I'm nice and I'm humble. Yeah, that's cool. But I'm one of how many in the NBA?
500 or so.
I'm one of 500 players in the NBA on the real roster with a guaranteed contract. Man, please. Miss me.
Well, Keith, that's why you're number 17 on the list, and he's not.
But that ain't going to – look, it doesn't mean anything. I'm 17 on the list. I'm cold at my job. I was one of a handful of dudes to ever do it at the level. I'm taking pride in that, and I'm keeping it moving. Humble. Man, please.
Wait, there you go. In a nutshell right there. Crosstalk with George Sedano coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hey, George Sedano. What's up, Sedano? I guess Sedano's not with me. I'm talking to myself. LZ, you
there? Hey, how are you?
Oh, nothing. We just was laughing. Travis and I were laughing about, and Jorge laughing about wearing cleats and stuff. And I was just telling him, you know, if I put on a pair of cleats now, it would probably hurt my feet a little bit for a period of time. But as a player, because of my deal with Adidas and or Nike, you got your cleats custom molded to your feet. So you didn't have the standard cleats like everybody else. You know, boxes of normal cleats come in, they put them on. You had to have yours specially made for your feet. And so I could just imagine them dudes going back to training camp after not really doing a whole hell of a lot of stuff in the summer prior to coming to the team, that, man, it's going, them feet going to hurt and dogs going to be barking.
George, when's the last time you wore a pair of cleats?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I played in one of those air it out flag football tournaments probably like 10 years ago. Like, that was probably the last time I wore. We did well too, but cleats. That's a long time. I don't golf, so I know that golfers can.
Yeah, not cleats. A chance.
Well, yeah. But golf shoes now, they're like tennis shoes. Those don't count until you have those hard molded plastic ones, like you're talking about, Key, or baseball spikes. Those things are torture devices. Not everybody is like you, Key, where we get the custom made shoes.
Yeah,
we got to go buy them off the rack,
no,
and it feels like
I understand that. And when I came into the league in 96, and when I signed with Adidas, one of the things that we set down, Peter Moore and the design team, we all set down and tried to design, or we did design, the uppers as fashionable tennis shoe like as possible,
And they hadn't gotten to that in golf or none of that sort of stuff. So when you were looking at the prototypes, you was looking at the golf shoes and going, ugh, or even baseball or anything. Nowadays, the uppers of the Michael Jordan shoe or the uppers of a Westbrook shoe are now being put on a cleat molded bottom, and it feels entirely different than it did many years ago. So, no, of course, with time, fashion has caught up to the athletic equipment that you need to wear, and it also feels good.
George, very quickly, give me your theory. We're looking at this, that prior to the league being suspended, the NBA, the Lakers were the betting favorite at plus 180. Milwaukee was second. The Clippers were third. It's gotten flipped since we stopped. Nothing really has changed. The Lakers are now behind Milwaukee. Their odds have basically switched spots. Any theories as to why that would happen without a single game being played?
Because their best player is older. That's just it. And he's a guy who traditionally ramps up. And I think that the layoff, he's even talked about it, that he thinks the layoff will affect him a little bit, and that he was hoping to have a plan soon so he can try to get his body back to where it was. So I think it's just
That's what I was saying earlier, Travis. 2.5-3 months of not playing basketball has switched spaces.
But it's 3 months. It's not like it's been 3 years.
That's why I say, me personally, I would think that resting him would benefit him as long as he's still doing some basketball acclimated things along the way.
Yeah, I think that was the challenge. I don't think he was doing actual basketball stuff for at least the first several weeks. Just because, you know, it was unavailable to him.
Yeah, but you don't shut down. You don't shut down like that, though, George. You don't shut down completely. Like, when you shut down, like, say, for instance, you set out for a month and you didn't do anything. You just sat around. You're not going to get out of shape like that. It's just not going to go away as fast as somebody who set out 2 years would.
With all these variables in mind, do you think we're going to get a weird – when we start it back up, are we going to get a weird team deep into the playoffs because of all of this stuff we're talking about?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, why not? Like, I think strange things can happen when you don't have home court advantage and guys are having months off in a layoff. Like, yeah, strange things could happen. I still think over a 7-game sample, you're still going to get the the right team's winning. But, yeah, it's very possible. Speaking of samples, did you see this story? Here's something for you guys on the way out. I want to get all your thoughts on this. Costco has just announced they're reopening free sample stands at their store.
In.
And it says, we're going to start doing some things in mid-June on a slow rollout basis and sampling. I can't tell you anymore, but needless to say, it's not going to be where you can just go pick up open samples with your fingers. Are you in on grabbing samples at Costco again?
I wasn't in before the pandemic, and I ain't in now.
Yeah.
Look, I was the guy who would... I don't eat stuff like that.
I don't do samples.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not doing that, man. We're not doing Vegas buffets. It's just not.
I'm not doing that. They come in that.
It's still the same thing. Travis.
No, it's not.
It's the same. You're walking by. There's and people touching stuff.
Travis. Yes, Travis. To Key's point. When I first moved to LA like 4 years ago, I did one of those samples at like a Ralph's or something. I don't remember where it was, or a Vons.
And
it
was like sick as a dog.
And it was chicken wings. And I got super sick. I got super food poisoning off of it. Yeah.
Coincidence. Everything's fine. Eat your samples. They come in the little paper cups. Nothing can go wrong.
Hey,
I'll take yours.
Don't eat any mini shredded wheats.
I'm not going to eat those. If you guys don't want them, grab them.
They're gross.
They are gross.
Mr. Honor Show is next. We'll see you Monday morning right here at 6 on the Morning Show, 710 ESPN.